Word. This is Promotion Sunday. So right now all our preschool and kids are out there. But just so we know what the age groups are, our nursery coming into the fall is going to be birth through, actually I say 8 weeks, through 2 years. And the reason we said 8 weeks is really want to give that time frame right when the baby's first born to be able to stay with mama and things like that. But starting at 8 weeks through 2 years old, then our toddler ministry, which is really our 3 for 4 year olds, and we've got some special themes that they're going in on it, and they're going to call the garden sprouts are back in this hallway, and because we believe that this is the garden that we're planting things to grow, and so it's going to be amazing. Our pre-K room, which is out in the very first portable that you come to, is called All Access. I love it. It was something that Amber Kay prayed over our children, amazing children's director. In fact, she's right there right now because one of our teachers had a family emergency and had to leave. And so she's out there right now. Otherwise, she would be here welcoming you guys. So be praying for her and just tell her what an amazing job she's doing. But we want these really, it's starting at age 4 through kindergarten, to know they have all access to the Father's heart. Like there's no boundaries, there's no limits, you know, to them. And so we're very intentional of prayer and teaching them through that. Gary's been in an amazing job in our 1st through 4th grade room, and the theme for this year is freedom seekers. We want those kids knowing they're on mission and what God is releasing for that. And then our 5th and 6th grade room, which is part of our student life ministry, which I'm going to let Daniel talk about in a little while, is upstairs normally through. And so I want to ask all our 1st through 4th grade to come forward right now up to the front here. We're going to bless and pray over you guys. I want you to see the generation of now that are freedom seekers, they're freedom fighters, right? Come on, yeah. If you're part of our executive team or advisory team, I want you guys to come forward right now. We're going to pray a blessing over these kids. And we're just going to launch them as we promote them into the next level. And if everybody else, if you parents, this legacy family, why don't you extend out a hand of blessing? So, Father, right now we thank you, Lord, for these mighty, mighty young men and young women that you are raising up, Lord God, to be world changers, Lord God. And we release over them, Lord God, just an impartation, Lord God, of your heart to them, Lord God, that you would expand their mind to be able to understand you, to see you, that they would hear you, Lord God, that they'd have spiritual sight to be able to see the way that you are working all around them, Lord. That, Lord God, that they're being grown up not to have a religious mindset, but this relationship that allows them to partner with what their daddy in heaven's doing so that they can release. And Lord, we declare there is no junior Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside of these kids. And so, Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you would just baptize them fresh and new, fill them new with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, give them holy boldness, Lord God, to accomplish your kingdom purpose on earth as it is in heaven, right here and right now. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Yes. Is Gary in here? He might already be out in the... Oh, there's Mr. Gary. Gary, everybody, I want you to tell us, this man is, I would say, the way that Gary has pastored these kids allows me to be a dad. And you guys follow Gary. I'm going to be out there in a second with you guys, okay? Because I want you all to get starting out there. This month, I'm excited because I get to hang out with them. And just the why. It's like I'm helping Gary out there. I'm like, man, Gary's just doing an amazing job with it. And so I feel like I get to grow and get fed with these kids as they're out there. So we still have openings for our children's ministry. You can jump out there as well with that too. If you are a student in the 7th through 12th grade, I'm going to get to 5th and 6th grade in a second, but you're entering in 7th through 12th grade right now, would you guys please stand with me? Come on. I know you guys are here. Why don't y'all come forward now as well? An executive team and advisory team, y'all can't sit down yet. Chloe. Yeah. Come on.
This is an amazing group of kids. We're going to talk a little bit more about them in a bit, but let's pray real quick because... Father God, we come before you and we thank you so much for this group of kids, for this group of young adults, Father God. As they go into their school year, Lord, we know that they are all light, they are all salt, and they all have a purpose and a destiny on this earth. And the purpose and destiny right now is to impact people for the kingdom in their schools, where they stand right now. God, I ask that you would just light a fire in each and every single one of them, Father God, as they go throughout school, that their light would be unquenchable, that people would just come up to them and just say, I need what you have. God, I pray that you would just pour out your Holy Spirit and let your Holy Spirit walk those halls with them, keep them safe, bring your angels in with them as they go. God, minister to people just through their presence, Father God. I ask that you would give them words when words are asked, and that they would just grow to be amazing men and women of God, ones that are known to walk in your love, known to walk in your authority, and known to walk in your power. We ask that you would bless their year going forward. In your name I pray. Amen.
Yes, thank you. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Last group is going to be our fifth and sixth grade students. If you're in the fifth, going into the fifth grade, going to sixth grade, would you guys go ahead and come on up here as well? You can notice that we didn't bite. That's true. What we do every single week is they will be released during the sermon time to go upstairs into the loft. And Daniel, I don't know, it was last year we were talking about fifth and sixth grade had been part of the children's ministry, but we felt like there needed to be this emerging out of adolescence into young adults, right? And this is such a pivotal stage. And so we wanted to make a class just for them on Sundays so they could be poured into. And so we want them to, they're going to stay in here so they can hear Daniel bring the word today. But we just want to pray over them right now. So let's go and do this. Father, I thank you, Lord God, once again for these incredible, incredible young women and young men, Lord God, and that you have a plan for them, Lord God, that is far more than we could possibly imagine, Lord God. But we want to imagine with you. We want to dream with you. And I declare over them the faith of Ephesians 3 that says that you will do infinitely more than we might think, ask, or imagine, Lord God. Expand their capacity, Lord God, to dream with you, to labor with you, Lord God, to be your friend, and to the release in your kingdom into all the earth right now. So we pray for fire just to come on them, Lord. And as they begin fire starters next week, Lord God, or in the next couple weeks, that, Father, that you are planting something inside of them, Lord God, that is going to transform this world so that, and like it says in Acts 17, wherever they go, they'll say, oh, no, the ones who turned the world upside down have come here too, and they're fifth and sixth graders. And it's not going to be one of those things of fear. I just break right now over this age group and also over our middle schoolers, that word curse that says that middle school is weird and that they can't do amazing things. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. These are amazing, amazing people. So much so that when the middle schoolers walk in the room, there's going to be rejoicing in the room because these kids are walking in with incredible faith, and that people are going to recognize the call in their life as something that will be transformative. So we release it over them right now in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Yes. Come on. All right. You're done now. No, actually, you're not. Come up here again one more time. My advisor team and executive team. Because I want to pray over Daniel, and which will come up on the platform here. And Conchetta, will you please come on up too? We're going to take a little time this morning, okay? So just so y'all know, don't look at your watch. Because he's got an incredible word to bring, but we felt it's so important to be able to do this. Daniel Smith has been our student life director for a while now, but what y'all may not know is there's been something inside of his heart long before he stepped into that role and position that has a passion to see these teenagers, and you'll hear him say it, I want their faith to become their faith, not their parents' faith. Like, it's about launching them and activating them into it. And so I want you to know, I want to affirm the calling that's on Daniel's life and his amazing wife, Conchetta. How many people know it's not just Daniel? It takes a family to be able to raise a family. And so when Daniel's up here with their amazing kids, Conchetta is a part of this, and especially is that pillar of prayer and intercessor. And so I've been praying for a couple weeks now because we knew that you were going to be preaching, Daniel, and I just kept, Lord, give me a vision, give me a visual for what it is. And so here's the word I feel like the Lord has for you. this, and this is for both of you guys. I want you to come forward a little bit because this is both of you guys together. For a while, you know those resistant ropes, right? When you pull and it pulls you back. And what the Lord has been doing is he's had you in this season where you've been going against resistance. And sometimes it's the things of the enemy, and sometimes it's God-ordained things. And God, whether it's something he's ordained or he'll use what the devil throws your way, and it feels like you've been running in this and getting pulled back. But what you haven't realized is in that process is that he's been building strength inside of you. And the season that you're entering into now is because you have the strategic plan of the Father in your heart is now what's been a resistance rope, you're going to turn around of itself, and it, now it's going to become your catapult. And as far back as you press into the thing is how far he's going to launch you. And what the word he says is, he says, run with abandon. No longer be defined by a season of resistance, because the season of resistance is over. The devil will not be able to resist you. And you flee, you resist the devil by stepping in and releasing the kingdom, and he has to flee, and he's destroyed. And so I believe in you with all that I have inside of you. I know the call on your life. I've seen the call of God on your life. I know you've been through this season. And I just say, you are a good son to the Father in heaven, and he is so well pleased with you. And you don't have to hang your head to anybody. Ever again. You don't have to apologize for your passion for students. You don't have to apologize for your passion for this generation and wanting to see them established. And so be catapulted. But the thing is going to be run with abandon. Like abandon all that other stuff. Turn the resistance ropes around and be catapulted into the plans of God. And so, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just release, Lord, over Daniel and over Conchetta, Lord God, a promotion, Lord God, into the next level of the things that you have for them right now. God, that there's such a level of boldness and fire that burns inside their hearts, Lord God, that, Lord God, they're getting downloads even now, Lord God, of next level insight, next level of intimacy with you, next level of maturity with you, next level of growth with you, Lord God, so much so that they're going to look to even yesterday and go, we're not the same people we were yesterday because of the promotion and the upgrade that's happening right now in this moment. And, Lord God, would you give him a reminder? Would you give Conchetta a reminder of every word that you've ever spoken does not return to you void. That when you declare something, you determine to put it into action. And so I declare right now, this is a moment of action and propelling into the next level. Lord God, give him the mantle that when he speaks, this generation listens. That all the other voices that are vying for their attention, that whenever Daniel speaks, they're going to hear the voice of the Father. And they're going to be drawn to you. Father, they're so going to be drawn to you. And they're going to, the world's going to be lit on fire because of what you're doing in and through this man's life. And so we just declare this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh. More. More. And I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to go run out and go hang out with the first through fourth graders. I can't wait to listen to the podcast. My wife Kelly's out in the toddler room right now. She sends her love to you guys. This is a now word for you.
But I think we can probably just go home. I think we're good. Not yet. Guys, we have an amazing group of kids. We do. We have a powerful team of kids. They, every time they come, they're so excited to come. They're so excited to be in the presence of the Lord. They're so excited to learn. They're so excited to hang out with each other. They're so excited to see each other. They pray. They pray for kids in their school, they pray for you guys. They come forward and they say, my mom's dealing with this. My dad's dealing with this. They pray for you. And they care about you and they love you. And they are powerful, powerful people already. We have seen them embrace the authority. We've seen them embrace the outpouring that the Lord has given their generation. The outpouring, I'm trying to come up with a word for it, but just the steadfastness that their generation has. And they have geared it towards the Lord, and they have geared it towards this church, and they have geared it towards this community, and they are a powerful group of kids. Amen. And they are going to change the world. Yeah. Even more than you or I ever could. Amen. They're going to. They're going to impact the world. Yeah. Glory. So we have been, we bring them up, we get the kids up there and we have a conversation. There's pizza, there's all sorts of fun. But then we have a sermon series that we've been going through for the last year, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. It's called Living Like a Hero. Well, it's hero, dealing with a hero. So what we will do is we will go throughout the Bible and we will establish a hero that we talk about. We've talked about, who have we talked about? Moses, Isaiah. Last week we talked, who did we talk about last week? Jeremiah last week. No, we talked about Daniel last week. I'm sorry. We talked about Daniel last week. Just go through and establish the heroes of the Bible and what their life stood for and what they mean, what we can glean from their lives, and we will go throughout and talk about that. So one of the heroes that we talked about is one that I actually want to talk to you about, because I have gotten through, I've gone through the Bible and kind of figured out, just kind of overlooked this hero, overlooked the guy that we're talking about today, because he's one of the guys whose stories you hear about in bedtime stories. When you're a kid, when you grow up in the church, you hear about this hero. Student life, who am I talking about? Oh, you can remember. They're all going through. We have the posters up on the wall. They're all going through the posters. We are talking about Elijah today. Elijah, and I will discuss why he is that guy shortly. So Elijah is a guy who, in order to understand him, you have to understand the context of where he came from. We know about Elijah. We know that he stopped rain. He came about in a time when Israel was at a great torment. He stopped rain for 3 years. He just came on the scene and was like, hey, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And it didn't. Because Israel was living, we know that he faced King Ahab and Queen Jezebel on Mount Carmel, and we're going to talk about that. He traveled with Elisha. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And his coming was prophesied. They said before the Lord comes back, the spirit of Elijah is going to come back. And then a lot of theologians are looking for Elijah to return in the Revelation. So to understand why Elijah is so important, you have to understand the importance of the time that he was in. So we'd had Israel was growing up. Israel was a united kingdom through King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. After that, it was a divided kingdom. It was split into Israel and Judah. And throughout Second Samuel and First Kings, it is just a laundry list of this king came along and did evil in the sight of the Lord. This king came along and did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was figured out by his son who did evil in the sight of the Lord. Every once in a while, there's one in there that says, yeah, this guy did right in the sight of the Lord, but he failed to destroy the gods of his fathers. So he just kind of kept everything status quo. 1 Kings 16 is kind of the culmination of that. The kings of Israel had led the kings of Israel had led Israel into a time of false idol worship, economic ruin, people groups that were the same but were split, division amongst people groups that should be united. Does that sound familiar? Sound like anything we might be dealing with now? 1 Kings 16 is where King Ahab shows up. And I love what it says in the New International Version, or I'm sorry, New Living Translation, where it talks about it. It says, as if, and though as it were not enough to follow the simple example of Jeroboam, he married Jezebel. King Ahab comes along and he says, as if it was not enough for him to follow the example. So if he thought it was living his life as if he thought that his fathers weren't evil enough. And he started actively seeking out. Him and Jezebel started actively seeking out and destroying the Christians of the day, the followers of the one true God. He employed prophets that were set there shortly before Elijah shows up. There's a prophet in the Bible who one of Ahab's prophets preys upon and leads him astray and gets him killed because he doesn't want to hear about it. He built temples to Baal. He set up Asherah poles. All of these things that were evil and wicked in the sight of the Lord. And then Elijah shows up. Elijah shows up and says, because you have done this, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And it didn't. Didn't rain for 3 years. And he began to speak publicly about it. He began to come against Ahab. He had to live in secret. He had to live in a valley. And he was fed by crows that would bring him bread and meat. And probably some locusts, because crows don't eat real meat, which is why he's a lot like John the Baptist. So he began to speak out against King Ahab. He began to speak for the true God, the one true God. He began to speak up for that. Then in the end of chapter 17, beginning of chapter 18, he goes to Mount Carmel, where we kind of all know the story, but I'm going to go through it anyway. Mount Carmel was a mountain. He set up two altars, and he said, all right, bring all of your prophets of Baal. I'm going to come just as myself. So 450 prophets of Baal and the nation and King Ahab and Queen Jezebel show up. And he says, all right, we're going to have a contest. Whoever God calls down fire from heaven, we're going to worship that God. So he says, you guys go first. So he sets up, they both build their altars. They both get a cow. They both cut up the cow. They set it on the altar. He says, all right, you guys go first. So the prophets of Baal are dancing around. They're singing their songs. They're crying out to Baal saying, hey, set it on fire. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. So Elijah, he was probably a little sarcastic, which is okay. He starts saying, well, maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. Why don't you start trying to call out louder? So they start calling out louder and they start cutting themselves. They start pouring out all of their hatred for Elijah onto Baal. Nothing's happening. So eventually towards the end of the evening, Elijah says, all right, that's enough. Now it's my turn. I'm gonna start, let's get 12 buckets of water and pour it on this altar. So he gets 12 buckets of water, he pours it on the altar. Now we're talking about big old buckets, like bushel baskets full of water, not baskets, but you know. And then he says, God, all he does, he's very quiet. He says, God, show them who you are. Show them your power, show them your authority. And boom, fire from the sky. Fire comes down from the sky and it consumes, not only does it consume all of the altar, it burns up the rocks, it evaporates the water that's in the moat that's around it. All of it is gone, consumes everything. So Elijah at this point, he's feeling pretty good. He stands up and he says, now, no more. We will not serve this God Baal anymore. We will serve the one true God. We will serve the God that set us up as a nation. And they went down, they killed all 450 of those prophets. In one swoop, he changed the nation. One swoop, he changed the nation. And then he went and prayed and it rained and he outran a chariot and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So Elijah was able to change the nation, but why is it that Elijah is someone that we should emulate? Why is it that Elijah is someone who we should care about? Why is it that Elijah is someone that is a hero in the Bible? Because when you read about him in the Bible, he is truly written. He's one of the first superheroes. Like, it's almost like super level heroics that he's talking about. He's talked about in the Bible. Like, this guy is cool. Why is it that he is like that? Does anybody know what Elijah means? Back in the day, names were everything. Names meant everything. Names had power. Names had authority. What does Elijah mean? My God is Yahweh. My God is Yahweh. Does anybody know who Yahweh is? Yahweh is the one true God. Yahweh is the God who gave creation to this earth. Yahweh is the one who gave you life. Yahweh is the God who reaches out for you. Yahweh is the God who wants to touch you. Yahweh is the God who wants to have a relationship with you. And when you get into a position like Isaiah, like Elijah, and you can say, my God is Yahweh, the power and the authority that you have to step out, you will call fire down from the sky with the power and the authority of saying, my God is Yahweh. Now, one of the reasons that I think Elijah gets missed a lot is because we look for him to come back. We look for him to show up. He showed up in spirit in John the Baptist. John the Baptist actually dressed like him and ate like him and talked like him. It's pretty much, when you look at the way, they both wore black camel hair with a leather belt around it. Like, it was pretty obvious that, which sounds incredibly comfortable, and I'm going to start dressing like that. Little black camel hair. It's nice. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. So John the Baptist comes back, and he starts saying, the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn back. He starts calling the Pharisees, saying, you're so caught up in your politics. You're so caught up in your policies. You're so caught up in looking at making sure you do everything right and being so pious that you're missing who you're looking for. Why are you doing all of this stuff? My God is Yahweh, and he's coming. Yahweh is coming, and Jesus shows up. So I believe there is a spirit of Elijah, and you can read there are several prophecies about a spirit of Elijah that comes. And if you look at every great revival that has happened, there is a generation beforehand that says, my God is Yahweh. You look at John the Baptist, my God is Yahweh. We can't do this anymore. Jesus shows up. Look at even more some of the later revivals, the First Great Awakening. They were sick and tired of things being done the way that it was. They were sick and tired of the policies. It was a government-run church. They were sick and tired of it. My God is Yahweh. Boom. First Great Awakening. Second Great Awakening comes about. Same thing. I'm sick and tired of this church without power. I'm sick and tired of doing this. My God is Yahweh. There was a generation of pastors and preachers that stood up and said, my God is Yahweh. You will listen. With the power and the authority that God has. Boom, Second Great Awakening. Azusa Street, very, very similar situation. Somebody came along and realized, we're having church without power. We're having church without the full power and the full spiritual health that we could have it. And he started in a basement, praying, seeking out for God, seeking out for all that God had, seeking everything that God had for them, saying, my God is Yahweh. Azusa Street. Revival lasted 13 or some odd years? I don't remember how many years, sorry. 13-year revival. Pentecostal movement right there. A couple of weeks ago, we went up to Gateway Student Conference. It was an incredible time, and I stood in a room with 4,000 kids. 4,000 kids. They were all standing there saying, my God is Yahweh. They were all saying, life is hard. It's not fun sometimes. Sometimes it's difficult to see what's going to happen. Sometimes it's difficult to know how it's going to last. But my God is Yahweh. My God is the one true God. He will lead me through it. I can live my life with power and with authority. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? We have a group of kids that are powerful. This generation is powerful. This generation is strong, and they know who they are. Now, I'm on Facebook just as much as everybody else is, and I see all those little posts that go about bashing millennials. millennials are the lost generation, or, oh, man buns, and they're stupid, and, you know, all this cheesy stuff that's just ridiculous. And you know what? Yeah, some of the stuff that happens is ridiculous, but I wore tie-dye shirts. This generation is one that we cannot let go of. We cannot let go of. Millennials and this young generation, this group of kids that are coming up, have too much power to be let go. You know what? You see the statistics and you see, oh, these kids are, they're living their lives how they want to, and atheism is on the rise, and they don't know what to believe. You know what? Yes, atheism is on the rise, but you know what that means? That means that belief is on the rise. Because you have to believe in something in order to believe that it's not there. Belief is on the rise. And this group of kids that I deal with, this group of kids that I have a heart for, this group of kids that I pray for every single day believes in something. And we have got to capture it. Okay? We have to. We have to capture it. We have to get in line with them. We have to disciple them. We have to raise them up. We have to bring them into this church. And how do we do that? Because a lot of times it seems like we can be ineffective. A lot of times it seems like, oh, church is not cool, or I don't like going, I don't like the songs or whatever. You know what? It's not about that. Oftentimes the church gets known for nowadays what it's not. We are not tolerant. We are not happy. We are not like the world. No, we're not. But you know what we are? We are a church that is powerful. We are a church that serves the one true God. We are a church that serves with power and with authority. We serve Yahweh. We serve the God of physics. That is such a big deal. The God that put all of this in motion, the reason that you are sitting in your chair, we serve that God. We have a relationship with that God. We have power and authority with that God. That's all that we need. That is all that we need to connect with this generation. That is all that we need to connect with each other. That is all that we need to connect with anybody. My God is Yahweh. Let me show you. Let me show you what that means. Timothy was 17 years old. The disciples, it talks about when Jesus called the disciples together, there's a chapter where they're having to go pay the temple tax. Only Jesus and Peter were required to pay the temple tax. We know that Jesus was 31. In order to pay the temple tax, you had to be 20 years old. Only Jesus and Peter were over 20 of the disciples. Only Jesus and Peter. Isaiah was probably about 17 when he was called. Jeremiah was probably about 17 when he was called. It's funny, Elijah was actually probably one of the older ones. He was probably in his 30s or 40s, or I'm not sure. He was probably older, but you know who wasn't? Elisha. Elisha was probably about 15 years old when Elijah, my God is Yahweh, walked past him, put his mantle onto Elisha. And Elisha said, hey, let me go fix my dad. Let me go get this straightened out with my dad, and then I'm going with you because I see the power that you have and I see the authority with you that you have. Now, Elisha did that by killing one of his dad's groups of oxen, which I'm not sure is the coolest idea. But if we as an Elijah church, if we as a church that steps forward and says we have power and authority, let me show you, we will raise up a generation of Elishas who call out for a double anointing. I say, let me hold on for a double anointing. And you know what? Elisha is recorded as doing exactly two times as many miracles in the Bible as Elijah is. Exactly. As this generation, as this church, we can raise up this new generation. We can step forward and we can say, my God is Yahweh. This is the power that you can deal with. And if we raise up a generation that says that too, they will usher in a spirit of revival the likes of which we have never seen. It's already starting to happen. 4,000 kids at a student, that happens every weekend. There are places that go around the country, there are groups that go around the country that minister to people that get it. we have to have passion for this generation. We have to care about it. We have to know what's going on. And where does that start? It starts right here. It starts in this room. Fifth and sixth is in here right now. Seventh through 12th is in here right now. Grab one of them. Capture them. Say, my God is Yahweh. They're getting nervous because I'm singling them out. Say, my God is Yahweh. Let me show you how. Let me show you what you can do if that's all you have to say. I serve the one true God. And all of the power and the authority that comes with that, all of the gifts of the Spirit, all of the fruits of the Spirit, all of that stems from the one true God. There is power in that. There is power in an Elijah generation. And I believe that that is exactly what we are raising up right now. That is exactly who we have sitting in here right now. That is exactly who I take care of on Wednesday nights. That's exactly who Pastor Jay and Kelly and Gary and Linda and everybody is taking care of. They are taking care of the Elijah generation, and they will see, we will see things that we've never seen before, that we've never thought possible because of it. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I know that Pastor Jay talked about it earlier, but if you haven't had an opportunity to say, my God is Yahweh, if you haven't had an opportunity to say, I know that God, I serve that God, I love that God, and you want to, you want to come into a relationship with a God that loves you, with a God that is a father, with a God that cares, would you do me a favor? Would you just raise your hand? Okay. I see you. And going forward, if you want to be one that commits to, like Elijah, standing up and saying, no more. Standing up and saying, this is who God is. Saying it doesn't matter what false idols are out there. It doesn't matter the economic turmoil. It doesn't matter the fact that people aren't getting along right now. God is bigger. God can take care of it. And if you are one, want to be one that says that, if you are one that wants to say, my God is bigger, would you do me a favor? Would you just stand to your feet? Now, this is what I want to do. I don't want anybody's eyes closed. I don't want anybody's head bowed. I want everybody looking around. You see everybody standing up? You're accountable to them now. And I'm accountable to you. And they're accountable to you too. We will be a church that says, my God is Yahweh. We will be a church that says we will walk in the power and the authority. We will embrace the next generation. We will embrace everybody that we come in contact with because our God is greater. Because our God is more powerful. Our God can overcome any odds. No matter what we're dealing with, even as adults, we deal with rejection. We deal with divorce. We deal with economic issues. We deal with job losses. We deal with all of these hurts that come against us, and my God is bigger. So each and every person in this room, I don't care if they're a youth. I don't care if they are a student life member. You can go to them and they will pray for you. I've seen them pray for you on a Wednesday night. You can go to them and they will pray for you and they will care for you and they will love you and say, I don't know. I don't even understand what you're going through, but my God does, and he will take care of it. So we're about to wrap up, and if you want to, can I get the prayer team to come forward? as we release, if you really do need some prayers, if you really do need someone to pray with you, just to hug you around your neck and just say it's going to be okay, would you come forward and just let them pray with you and let them minister to you and let them know, let them let you know that it's going to be okay? Let's pray. God, we come before you, Lord. You are so powerful. You are so big. You are so awesome. Sometimes it's hard to acknowledge that what that word is because it's been so watered down, but you are truly awesome. God, we know that Isaiah was humbled when he came into your presence, but we know that the first thing that you did was talk to him. The first thing that you did was scoop him up into your arms. You cleansed his lips so that he could get to know you. God, we know that that's what you want to do. We know that as big and powerful as you are, you want to spend time with us and you want to get to know us, and we were created for your pleasure. Would you just remind us of that today, Father God? Deep in every person's heart, would you just remind us that you want to know us? That we weren't an accident. We were created for a purpose, and that purpose was to spend time with you. God, we ask that you would meet all of the needs that are in the audience, that are in the auditorium tonight, Father God. Just meet everybody's need. Meet them where they're at. Lift their hands. Walk with them. Give them a big hug. Because we know that for as powerful as you are, you also exist in the whisper. You say, I'm powerful. I got this. I can do it. Lord, as we go throughout our week, give us opportunities to say that you are God and that we serve you more than anything, publicly, with people around us. Give us those opportunities to say that. And let it change lives. We ask that you would just bless this week. Give us a wonderful week. Let us walk and flow in your arms. Let everybody come closer to you this week. And give us a blessed week. In your name I pray. Amen.